Well, welcome once again on a Friday afternoon to the study here. And I just want to speak for a little while today about a very prominent problem in evangelical circles in Northern Ireland, the problem of backsliding. It seems to be so prevalent in these days in which we're living. And the Word of God prophesies this in the book of Matthew in chapter 24, when the Lord was speaking on the Mount of Olives to his disciples about some of the signs of the times. He indicated that in the last days, because iniquity would abound, the love of many would wax cold. People would lose their glow, they would lose their joy, they would, in a sense, depart from their first love. And that's really what backsliding is. It's very important to make sure whenever you use the term backslider, backslidden, or backsliding, that you know what you mean by the terminology. Some people have the idea that because they have prayed a prayer or made a profession of faith and they haven't gone on or walked with the Lord, that they're backslidden. And maybe all they had was a false, empty, hollow profession that maybe meant very little. Whenever I'm speaking today about backsliding, I'm speaking to those who have definitely been converted and born again of the Spirit of God, who have shown fruit, the fruit of faith in their lives, the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. They've walked with God, they've known the blessing of God in their lives, and there's no doubt that there was a time whenever they were converted and in fellowship with the Lord and going places with God. But something has got in and hindered that fellowship and robbed them of that usefulness and robbed them of that joy. You might be backslidden outwardly, and everybody knows that, and they can see by your life that you're not in the place with God where you should be, or indeed where you once were. But it may be that you're watching today or listening today and you're backslidden inwardly. You see, not all backsliders go back to the pub. Not all backsliders go back to their old haunts and take up their old habits. Many people that are backslidden in heart, and yet still living an outwardly moral and upright life. Many backsliders are sitting in pews every single Sunday. I think you have this illustrated in the story that the Lord Jesus Christ told in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. A certain man had two sons and were well acquainted with the habits and the choices of the younger son, who took his inheritance and departed into a far country and wasted his substance with riotous living and devoured his substance with harlots and all sorts of things, and then began to be in want. It's very evident he was a backslider. He left the love and the confines of the father's house and went into a far country, and people knew it. But the elder brother, who stayed at home, was backslidden inwardly. He had lost his first love as well. He had lost his compassion for his brother. He had lost his respect even for his father, because whenever his brother returned and the father was full of joy, the elder brother didn't enter into that joy and that rejoicing and stayed in the field. He was in the field, but he was out of fellowship. He was in the place of service, but he wasn't in the place of submission and love and devotion and consecration. I suppose there are many, many causes for backsliding. It may be that you would acknowledge, maybe not outwardly, but you would acknowledge in your own heart that you're not in the place with the Lord where you once were. If somebody challenged you about being backslidden, you might get deeply offended, but you know in your heart of hearts that you're cold and you're not in the place with God that you were maybe a number of years ago. You might blame it on being discouraged by the antics of some professing Christians. You might blame it upon some disappointment in your life, some hardship, some trial. You might say that you've just got so busy recently with legitimate things that you just are not in the place with God where you once were. And you might be able to point the finger at other people as being the reason that you profess to be backslidden. But the reality is, all backsliding is the result of disobedience. That might sound like a harsh statement. Other things might factor and feed into that, but the reality is, backsliding is a result of disobedience, a failure to pray, a failure to read and apply the Word of God to your life, a failure to apply the means of grace, a failure to walk with God, a failure to examine your heart, a failure to keep close accounts with God, a failure to watch and be vigilant, a failure to resist the devil, a failure to crucify the flesh, a failure to take up the cross, a failure to fellowship with God's people, a failure to do the things that God has clearly revealed in his word. The reality is that backsliding doesn't happen in an instant of time generally. Most people have backslidden in their hearts and in their habits long before they backslide externally. And it may be that you're backslidden. The result of backsliding can be a loss of joy. Do you have the joy of the Lord? David lost it. He prayed in Psalm 51, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." A loss of your love. The Lord said to one of the churches in Revelation that you've left your first love. And I wonder today, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ as much or more than you did whenever you were first converted, or maybe months or years after your conversion, and you've lost your joy, you've lost your love? It may be that you've lost assurance. And if you're honest, you don't really know whether you're saved or not, because you're living in isolation, really, and out of fellowship with God. And you can't enjoy assurance of salvation whenever you're not in the place where you ought to be spiritually. You've maybe lost your peace and your contentment. You've become bitter. You've become irritable. You've become proud. You've maybe become very legalistic. And you've lost a sense of contentment. And you know that if you were to pass from this scene of time, that you might be in trouble. Maybe you've lost your testimony amongst your family, amongst your church, amongst your peers, amongst your neighbours, maybe in the workplace or the schoolroom or the university campus, and you've lost your usefulness for God, and you see people all around you that need the Saviour, but you can't witness to them effectively because, like Lot, you're far away from the Lord, and if you were to witness and tell others about the Lord, you would seem as one that mocked, and you've lost your usefulness for the Lord. And maybe over the last year, or maybe even over the last number of minutes, as you've maybe inadvertently tuned in into this broadcast, you're coming to your senses, like the prodigal in the far country, who was almost naked, who was starving, who was lonely, who was destitute, who realized he needed to get back, and he came to himself as the Spirit of God began to work in his heart and in his life. He came to himself. And maybe you're coming to yourself, and you're coming in a sense to your senses, and you're realizing, I need to get right with God. I need to get back to God. I need to get sorted out. What do I do? Well, in Luke chapter 15, you have that wonderful story that we call the prodigal son. The first thing he did was he realized. He realized where he was. He realized what he was. He realized that it was all of his own making. It was his choice, his decision, his departure from the Father's house and the Father's side, and wandering step by step further and further into the far country. He realized he was reaping the consequences of his ill-advised decisions and choices in life. He realized what he was. He realized where he was. He realized what he had become. And you maybe need to make those realizations as well, that you've wandered, you've drifted far away from the Lord. You've become cold at heart, you've become defiled by this world, and you've lost that fellowship and that joy. Then he needed to repent. He said in Luke 15:18, "I will arise and go to my Father and say, I have sinned against heaven and before thee." First and foremost, his sin was against God, and that had to be repented of. And then he had to confess his sins as well to his Father. And then he needed to return. He said, "I will arise and go." So he needed to leave where he was and go back to the place where he left his first love. And then as well, there needed to be a resolve. The old Westminster Catechism says, "Repentance unto life is a saving grace whereby a sinner, out of a true sense of his sin and apprehension of the mercy of God in Christ, doth with grief and hatred of his sin turn from it unto God, with full purpose of and endeavour after new obedience." A resolve, I'm going to do what's right, I'm going to live for God, I'm going to live in obedience. And then a recognition of the Father's love. Whenever that prodigal returned and came home, he recognised his Father's unconditional, unmerited, unparalleled, unchanging, and sadly unrequited love. He recognized my Father loves me, in spite of my sin, in spite of my backsliding. The book of Hosea, chapter 14, 4, God promises, I will heal their backslidings. I will love them freely. And the Father ran and fell upon him and kissed him and had compassion upon him and called for a robe to be put upon him, shoes upon his feet, a ring upon his finger, and for the fatted calf to be killed. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He is lost and is found. Listen, as long as you've got breath in your lungs, and as long as there's a God in heaven, there's always hope. I pray that if you've grown cold at heart, as I'm sure maybe even hundreds who listen to this broadcast have, backsliding is so prevalent, so common, and I'm sure that there are some, and you need to come back to the Lord. Let me just finish with a few verses from the great prophecy of Jeremiah. It's chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, Return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord. And I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. And then verse 22 of that same chapter says again, Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. If you're genuinely backslidden and you once knew God's salvation to be a real reality and a joy in your life, but you've lost that joy, the Lord's married to you, he's still your God, but he invites you to come, and it's vital that you get back into fellowship with him. But maybe if you're honest, you were never truly converted. You never went forward. There was nothing to backslide from because you never really walked with God or ascended the hill of the Lord. Maybe you need to repent and just believe the gospel and be genuinely and soundly converted. These are so important issues, and I trust that God will bless his word to your heart today. And if we can help you, please get in contact with us. And we're praying for you. And remember, God loves you.